responsible to. I sometimes like midweeks more than a Sunday because, hey Ben, sometimes there's a preconceived idea that we can only have church on a Sunday. But sometimes God likes to mess our world up on a Tuesday night. Amen. I don't know about you, but I came expecting something from the Holy Ghost tonight. Amen. I came with an expectancy in my heart. Amen. I sure want to feel after God and know that God has touched my life before I leave this house tonight. Nehemiah chapter 13 and verse 1. Man, while you're finding that, I'm going to say again what a great honor and a privilege it is. Amen. To be with this great church. Amen. Such an honor and privilege, your pastor and first lady and family. Amen. Looking forward to spending more time with them, getting to know them better. Amen. If they can just live up to half of the rumors about them, it'll all be good. Amen. They say only good things about the bishop. So honored, privileged to be in this great church. Give honor to all the local ministers that make it happen day in and day out. Amen. Bless you and your efforts. Nehemiah chapter 13 and verse 1. On that day, they read in the book of Moses in the audience of the people, and therein was found written that the Ammonite and the Moabite should not come into the congregation of God forever, because they met not the children of Israel with bread and with water, but hired Balaam against them, that he should curse them, howbeit our God turned the curse into a blessing. Verse 3, now it came to pass, when they had heard the law, that they separated from Israel all the mixed multitude. And before this, Eliashib the priest, having the oversight of the chamber of the house of God, was there, and he began to align himself. There it became that allied with unto Tobiah. There they began to meet together. And it's here where, before we keep reading, I want us to understand, remember who Tobiah was. Tobiah was the one that was with Sanballat that came against Nehemiah, and it was there that tried to keep him from rebuilding the walls. Verse 5, and he had prepared for him a great chamber where aforetime they laid the meat offerings, the frankincense, the vessels, and the tithe, and the corn, and the new wine, and oil, which was commanded to be given to the Levites, and the singers, and the porters, and the offering of the priests. But in all this time was not I at Jerusalem, for in the 32nd year of Artaxerxes, king of Babylon, came unto the king, and after certain days obtained I leave unto the king. And I came to Jerusalem, and understood of the evil that Eliashib did for Tobiah in preparing him a chamber in the courts of the house of God. And it grieved me sore, therefore I cast forth all the household stuff to Tobiah out of the chamber. Then I commanded, and they cleansed the chamber, and thither brought again the vessels of the house of God with the meat offering and the frankincense. I want to preach to us on this simple topic tonight, hell's eviction notice. Hell's eviction notice. Would you put your Bibles down and help me pray? God, we love you tonight. Lord, we thank you, God, for what we feel in the house of the Lord. Thank you, God, for every guest, every visitor, every saint of God alike. I thank you, God, for every one of us that have journeyed to be here on this Tuesday night. I pray, God, that you open our minds, open our hearts. Let us hear and receive your word tonight. I pray, God, you let me be an open conduit that you can flow from heaven, unrestricted, undefiled. I pray, God, that your word goes forth. God, we bind any distraction. We bind, God, anything that would pull us away, God, from the captivity of mindset, God, of the Holy Ghost. I pray, God, you would open our hearts, deliver your word like only you see fit. Speak your word in this house in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus. Can we clap our hands one more time? Come on, let's let God know he's worthy in the house of the Lord tonight. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Man, I've been feeling, amen, even yesterday and then specifically today, amen, praying for direction for tonight. This is, I believe, what God has given, amen, me to preach. So just ride the river with me just for a few moments, but I want to preach on hell's eviction notice. Man, when we read this story of Nehemiah, we understand, amen, the backdrop and the history behind Nehemiah as he would come, as the temple had been rebuilt. And then, amen, the other exploits that Ezra, amen, and the other great men and women of God had come to rebuild the cities. And yet all the while, as the temple was there and had been resurrected, and there, amen, law and order had been put in place in some regards, but yet the walls, amen, were still not rebuilt around the city. It's in this place that we understand that Nehemiah began to do the bidding of God, and he gets a burden for his city. It's in that place, amen, where he begins to get the, amen, approval of the king. And he tells the king, before I ever go back, I've got to have the anointing, or the, amen, the willingness and the stamp of approval of the king, so I can have the authority, amen, to go back to a nation that had been destroyed. Amen. He goes back. The Bible says that he drives, amen, not a Cadillac, but he drives his horse, amen, around the city. And he begins to look around, begins to see the devastation that had happened to his people. And in the night, as some writers would, amen, declare that it was there that he looks in and sees, amen, that the people have nothing to protect them, and they have nothing, amen, to ward off their adversary. They're in a lawless city. It's in a place where the world, amen, around them can come in. Nobody took them very seriously. It didn't matter if they had, amen, it didn't matter if they had the temple rebuilt. That didn't matter to them. It didn't matter if law and order had been put in place, because if there was no walls, nothing really mattered. And if there was no banner, if there was no standard to be raised, nothing up until that point really mattered. I'm going to hit some things tonight, but just ride it with me. I'm going to tell you something. The world, amen, cares nothing, amen, about just having church. They are having church by the droves right now. Amen. People are filling synagogues. My father's city, they are having, amen, satellite ministries, and people are coming to watch a service that is hosted in some other state, in some other county, and they'll sit in there and they'll listen to a preacher preach, and amen, they'll stand and they'll give their offering and they'll go home, and they all did it from the convenient center of a screen, and they'll go home the same way that they came, and they'll go to work with co-workers, and they'll talk about where, amen, they went for church on Sunday, and they'll describe their Christianity and how they live, and what goes on their Easter weekend services, and what goes on their Sunday Christmas service, and what goes on, amen, on a baby dedication, and they confess religion with their mouth, but there's nothing in their lifestyle that reflects, amen, what they say they believe. I will tell us on the onset of this message that the world that we are living in, amen, is so sick and tired, amen, is professing religion with a lip service only. That people that talk about how they're Christians, but their actions never back up their words. Amen. The world understands better than most. Amen. Of Catholicism and all the different, amen, denominations around the world. And they understand, amen, that they profess it with their lips. And even though they've got the best coffee shops and money across the world, and they've got the best this and of that, and they seem to have more money than anybody else. But the world that we are living in right now is not concerned with how much money they have. They're not concerned with how good music they have. They're not concerned about the best youth program they have, because none of that has changed their life. It doesn't matter how many AA programs or meetings they conduct in their sanctuaries. It does not matter how much food they hand out. It doesn't matter how many gas cards are given. It does not matter, amen, how many drives they do to serve the community. But at the end of the day, day when they go home to their back to their houses and they go back and shut the door, they're faced with the same mess that's been there when they first got there. And the only thing they're looking for is a power that can change the world that they're living in. I want to preach to someone here tonight. I want to let you know what you're looking for. It's not another pretty message. What you're looking for is not another handout. What you're looking for is not another helping hand and to go home the same way you came. But what you're looking for is you're looking for a church that's got some walls built up. You're not just looking for an assembly that doesn't believe. Amen. And no standards. But a wall is a standard. It's a protection barrier. It's something that drives out the enemy and protects your home and protects your mind. What you're looking for is an apostolic church. What you're looking for is First Pentecostal. What you're looking for is a Tuesday night revival service that when you get up out the altar of this service, that you do not leave the same way you came. But when you leave this church, you leave a different man and you leave a different woman. Somebody shout hallelujah. If you came here tonight, hey man, I've been in church all my life, and I know some come for religion, some come for God, some come for the preacher, and others came to get $20 to get back home. That's the day we're living in. I'm going to tell you something. You may get $20 tonight, but you can also get the Holy Ghost. Oh, hello, I know it's a Tuesday night, and we're supposed to be praying, but how about prayer mixed with preaching? My God, that's dynamite in the house. I'm going to tell you something. Before you get out of this house, and you may came because somebody dragged you to an apostolic church and you didn't know if you was just doing them a favor or yourself a favor. I'm going to tell you, when you leave this house changing the Holy Ghost, you understand that, my God, this was the best decision of my life. When you get buried in the name of Jesus and you go down in a watery grave tonight and you come up, amen, in the newness of life, you're going to thank God that you came again here on a Tuesday night and you lifted your hands and you lifted your voice and you said, hell, I'm serving you an eviction notice and I'm not going back to the drugs and I'm not going back to the alcohol. I'm not going back to the illicit affair. I'm not going back to pornography. I'm serving an eviction notice on hell tonight. Once God got a hold of me, I can't go back to the same way that I started out as. God's put walls, and he's put barriers, and he's made a place where he can dwell among us. Somebody clap their hands. So the Bible, amen, tells us that Nehemiah rebuilds the walls. And if you want to put an injection in the scripture, amen, or understanding to your mind, he began to raise a standard. He began to set into order, amen, what was going to be allowed and what was not going to be allowed. He began to rebuild the wall. The Bible says, amen, that he goes and Sanballat and Tobiah come and they begin to mock him and they begin to make fun of him. And in one passage of scripture, they, amen, Sanballat begins to ask the question, will you rebuild the walls out of the rubble under the trash? Hey man, if you began to look into scripture, they did not get new ingredients or new lumber or new timber or new blocks. But really, as me, they may have to make some repairs to, hey man, their materials. But really, the foundation, hey man, that and the wall structure and the ingredients to, hey man, their wall city was all buried underneath the trash. And the first order, amen, that Nehemiah said we've got to do is he said, before we ever get started on anything in this city, we got to get the trash out of here. Before we ever rebuild, before we ever replenish, before we ever, amen, paint those pearly gates, hey, before we ever, amen, put a drawbridge, and before we ever put it, gotta have a crocodile in the water, before we ever put the crocodile in the moat, before we ever do anything else, he said, we gotta get the trash out of the city. We gotta get the junk out of here. And beneath all the junk, there's a treasure chest there that we can rebuild what God wants us to have. I'm telling someone here tonight, you came here tonight, and there's trash in your life.
And if you look in your life and examine yourself, you can acknowledge that you've got mess all over the place. And while the world that we live in says, let's put a housing development on top of an old landfill, we can understand they have now outlawed that. Because they realize that if you build a house upon a landfill, that before too long, seep holes and your house will, amen, crawl into itself and it will destroy itself. And so now the world has changed and now they made laws against it. And now the only thing they can do with the landfill is make a golf course. Now, I hope you're not against golfing. My game's so bad, it is sinful. I'm going to tell you. But some people are willing to take the trash and they're willing to cover it up a little bit and they're willing to make a house upon that garbage. And other people are willing to understand that the only thing that's good for is extracurricular activity, but it ain't gonna be any place you can build a house upon. It's no wonder why Peter said upon, or God said upon this rock, I'm gonna build my church. He understood that it's got to be a place of a secure foundation. We're not building on top of trash. We're not building up on top of sin, but we're going to build upon a rock. That is why it's imperative for someone here tonight that while you are in your endeavor to find God and to even have a better walk and existence in the kingdom of God, it's imperative tonight that before we leave this house that you give an eviction notice to hell that says, I will not build my new walk with God upon old things that I've, amen, up until this point. I'm not going to build it off old theologies and I'm not going to build off old ideas, but God, I'm moving out all the trash. I'm moving out all the clutter. I'm moving everything out of my mind and my heart and my soul, and I'm going to let you start fresh tonight. Speak a fresh word into my life and build upon a solid foundation. I can tell you tonight that storms, amen, are going to come in your life, but I can tell you they're not going to last always. And the reason, amen, we understand it in scripture more than and better than most. It's not that we are worried if the storms, amen, are going to come, because they will, but we know that we built this thing upon a rock. And when the storms, amen, blow against us, we know that we've got a sure foundation. And we know that it doesn't matter marriage or divorce. It doesn't matter, amen, you lose your job or you foreclose on your home. It doesn't matter if you go bankrupt. We know we've got a God that we can lean on and a God that we can trust in. Doesn't mean that you're ever going to have problems. No. Doesn't mean that your life's going to be perfect from here on out. No. But you've got your salvation secure. And you know that when you come in and lift up your hands, you know there's a God that hears your prayer and a God that hears your petition and a God that fills your infirmities. And he's got to answer, because there's a God that's divinely attracted to an apostolic altar. And when you come down to this altar and you throw your hands up, there's a God that can't contain himself, and he has to answer, and he wants to come, and he wants to bring you out of your situation. So we understand that the wall begins to be rebuilt, and they find treasure under trash, and they begin to rebuild that great city. The walls and the structure, amen, and all the good things that began to happen there, and over and over and over, Tobiah comes by, amen, and Sanballat, and they try to discourage, amen, Nehemiah to, amen, build the wall, and they mocked them and made fun of them. They said it was never possible, and it was never going to happen, and they never took notice until the wall started actually being built. Well, tell someone here tonight, your family don't care nothing about you until you start living for God. Hello? I've watched it. I've watched converts, new converts, amen, teaching Bible studies to them. Their family could get the care less about them. They didn't think any 2 cents they were worth. But the moment they started praying through, and the moment they got the Holy Ghost, and the moment they started rebuilding some walls in their life, all of a sudden all hell started breaking loose. And family members started, no, you don't want to go to that church. And that family member wasn't there for them. They didn't counsel them. They didn't give money when they were in trouble. But the moment they start rebuilding some walls, all of a sudden there's going to be a Sanballat in your family that's going to speak up. All of a sudden there's going to be a Tobiah that says, no. At first it was all fun and games because we didn't think you was going to stick. We thought this was just some emotionalism you got on one Sunday night. But when you start really living for God, you come back more than one service. And the devil gets scared in his boots because he realizes, my God, they might be giving me an eviction notice tonight. I'm here to tell someone, I want to encourage someone here tonight. I say rebuild every wall you can rebuild. I say let God put a standard in your life like you've never had before. I say give hell an eviction notice. And amen, don't be afraid. Greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world, honey. You got a strength, you got an ability, you got an anointing, but you got a boldness in the Holy Ghost. And you don't have to, amen, sit second class to anybody, and especially the devil. But it's time, amen, we give hell an eviction notice and say, you got to get out of here. Get behind me, Satan. I will be victorious. I will be a child of God. I will be apostolic. I will be one God, Holy Ghost filled, holiness living. I'm going to be a child of the King.
And oh, Tobiah, after it all gets real, that's a San Diego term. I don't know if y'all use it. It's getting real. It's real, and the struggle's real. How you doing? We understand, hey man, that everything's about to change, and all's about to come to law and order. When Sam, Bal, and Tobiah keep trying to get him to come down, give him all kinds of different information. And then Sam, Bal, and Tobiah began to make a decree and try to assassinate, amen, Nehemiah. All in the honor and in the name, amen, of them trying to better themselves. Amen, most historians and scholars will say that Tobiah, amen, wanted to be, amen, the leader himself. And he was always trying to exert himself into that position. But God called Nehemiah there. Amen. And we can see that after the wall was built and after the city, amen, amen, was the gates were there and everything seemed to be rebuilt. The Bible says that Nehemiah, amen, goes back home and goes back to, amen, the city and where he was serving as a cupbearer. And in that place, amen, while the wall was rebuilt and the tabernacle was rebuilt and the law and order had been in place, the Bible says, amen, that Tobiah, that he begins to make, amen, a friendship with the priest or the high priest of the tabernacle. And before too long, while Nehemiah's out of town, the Bible says that he begins to move into the temple. He moves the fragrance, but they say in a large place in the temple. And most people will agree, as I begin to study and read this today, amen, that he probably took over at least four rooms in the temple to make his dwelling place there. Who knows what all was affected by Tobiah? Who knows all what the, amen, the effects of sin began to infect the tabernacle of the Lord? Who could really understand what was going on? But all that was going on while the preacher was gone. Can I preach tonight? It's one thing to shout on a Sunday night when the choir's singing and the preacher's in your back pocket. It's one thing when the bishop's in town. Woo, feel good in the house. It's one thing when we're eating fried chicken and everything's good, honey. But when everything seems to be a mess, when the chicken coop is a mess, I'm going to tell you something. When everything seems to be going upside down and the preacher ain't there and the youth pastor ain't there and mom and dad ain't there, amen, and the ministry's not there and Spanish pastor's not there and nobody's there to help you out and the choir's not singing, amen, and the praise leader's not hitting your favorite tune, that's a whole different story. I'm preaching to some people tonight. What are you going to do, amen, when Nehemiah's out of town? I know I'm new around here, but I know what I'm feeling in the Holy Ghost right now. I'm going to tell you something. We got to align ourselves, amen, with the pastors in town or the pastors out of town. Hello. I said we've got to align ourselves to God
whether bishop's in town or out of town. We got to align ourselves to God, whether it's a Sunday morning, a Sunday night, or a Friday night somewhere. Hello, somebody. We got to get ourselves into a place, even that hell doesn't feel comfortable sitting around and waiting for the pastor to get out of town so he can run on in and make havoc on our homes and on our children and on our marriages. We got to get to the place where hell understands you're not welcome here. Bible tells us that Moses leaves not for any old reason, but he leaves to get the mind of God. The Ten Commandments are being written, and God's, amen, pouring out his glory upon him, and his face is glowing, that they got to put a garment across his face. Amen. And the Bible says that while he's gone, they start erecting a fatted calf. And they started, amen, getting this golden image, amen, and this look, amen, upon this animal. And this was what they began to worship. And the people are trying their best, amen, to give some type of God, some type of deity. Amen, and Aaron helps them, amen, along the way. And they've got this false image. And the man of God's only gone just a few days. I'm not nervous right now. I know what I'm feeling, the Holy Ghost. I'm going to tell you something. You got to learn to live for God when everybody else, amen, is out of sight. You got to learn to live for God, amen, when we're not having shouting services. You got to learn to live for God, amen, when you're not licking paint off the wall till you get lead poison. You got to learn to live for God when you ain't walking the pews. You got to learn to live for God when mom and dad ain't willing to do it. You got to learn to live for God when your siblings decide to backslide. Hello, somebody. You got to learn to live for God, amen, when everybody in your world seems to be falling apart. You got to have a walk with God that says, I don't care if the preacher's in town. I don't care if he's preaching a conference. I don't care if mom and dad don't want to do it. I don't care if the other youth group doesn't say it's cool and it's not all good in the hood. Honey, I'm coming to the house of God and I'm going to have a move of the Holy Ghost because I'm going to serve an eviction notice to hell and let them know you've got to get out of my house. You've got to get out of my dwelling place. You've got to get out of my, hello somebody. You've got to get out of my worship. You've got to get out of my praise. How do you get him out? You serve an eviction notice. And Nehemiah said, we're going to throw it all out. I'm going to throw out sin. I know we heard it at peak. Hey, man, I didn't get to hear it. I was in the back counting offering. So if I dibble and dabble in Brother Nathan Holmes' message, praise God. He must have been in the Holy Ghost getting my notes. I'm going to tell you something. Nehemiah said, the only way we're going to deal with this stuff is we're going to throw that junk and that mess out of the tabernacle. First off, he said, I'm going to throw Tobiah out of the house of God, but then I'm going to throw all the stuff. I'm going to tell you tonight, amen, that we get so caught up in the stuff. Amen. We get so caught up in what's the after effects, what's the repercussions, what's the stuff, the hangover, the leftovers. But really we should be focusing on the who. Paul said, who shall separate me from the love of Jesus Christ? He didn't say what's going to separate me. He understood it ain't going to be a what, it's going to be a who. Pornography, you don't just pick that up and start, amen, looking at that overnight. Hey, if you've never looked at it before, it don't happen that way. You deal with the spirit of lust before that ever happens. Hello? You deal with an unchecked spirit before you ever get into that, amen, that demonic world of pornography and all that junk. Before you ever get hooked on drugs, you deal with that, amen, individual that's bringing that around. You deal with that temptation, amen, to have more and to go in places you've never dealt with before. Nehemiah said, before I get rid of this stuff, hear me right now, because some young people, hey man, they'll get rid of the phone, they'll get rid of the website, they'll clear the cookies, hey man, they'll use, I didn't know Mac had this until recently, you could open up a new window that says, do you want to do this private with no cookies, or do you want to do this just regular? I showed my wife, I said, my God, they're just enabling people to get in trouble. That's on your MacBook right now. And some people are willing to delete the cookies. Huh. Oh, it's getting quiet right now. Willing to delete your text messages. Willing to delete the photos. But you won't throw out the phone. Huh. Hold on a second. Stay with me. I'm not preaching this technology. I'm not preaching against having a good time. I'm going to tell you something. When you get caught up in apps like Snapchat, and those pictures are deleted 30 seconds or 60 seconds after you take that picture, honey, that's a manifester of disaster getting ready to happen in your world. Oh, I know this ain't popular right now. I'm going to tell you something. Why do you need that picture to delete itself in 60 seconds? Now, you may not have this in Georgia, but I've been around youth long enough, and I had an epidemic breakout in our youth in San Diego, brother, and kids were in all kinds of mess. And it didn't stop with the kids, but it went all the way to the adults. People's marriages were messed up because of Snapchat. Hello? I'm not preaching just against Snapchat right now. I'm going to tell you, if you don't deal with the human nature, you'll find there's different apps already out right now. You can find other ways that the preacher ain't handed to you just yet. I'm going to tell you something. You don't have to just deal with the app and the technology, amen, what you can download, but you got to deal with the matters of the heart. Hello? When you get your heart right, honey, it don't matter what app comes out on your cell phone. It don't matter what website pops up in your, amen, in your inbox. It don't matter what cutie Sue emails you on Hotmail, honey. It don't matter. When you get your heart right, you don't want none of that mess. You just want to have a move of the Holy Ghost. You just want to pray. I'm going to tell you how you're going to have it. You're going to say, hell, I'm giving you an eviction notice. You ain't allowed to stay around here. I don't want your perversion. I don't want your pornography. I don't want that relationship. If it's going to pull me out of the church, I'm not going to that website. If it's going to tempt me after lust, I'm not going to go there. Why? Because I served an eviction notice of hell on Tuesday night, and I made up my mind I'm going to live for God, and for God I live, and for God I die. I wish to God we had some young people tonight that said, preacher, I'm going to get my heart right. Forget what they preach. If they don't name it and claim it, I'm just going to get my heart right. Preacher, he ain't named it. My God, we can't name all the stuff coming out. I'm 30 years old and I can't keep up with it. My God, my bishop, we had to come tell him some of this stuff because I got kids in all dabbling in. Kind of, bishop like blowing his mind. He's like, whoo, I didn't even know this stuff existed. I said, I didn't either, bishop. 30 years old. I'm going to tell you something. Whether we ever name it or it's ever preached, stay with me right now. Whether we ever say, don't do this and don't go there, when you get the matters of the heart right. When you get the matters of the heart, that's what my dad used to teach to us as kids. He taught all the things we shouldn't do. Amen. He had a standard. He had rules of holiness and separation. But more than anything dad taught us, he said, I want your matters of the heart to be right. Because when you got your heart, every single one of us right now are 16 inches from death. Every one of us. Doesn't matter how long your neck is, or if you're like me, you got a chubby, fat neck. It don't matter. Your brain is exactly 16 inches from your heart, no matter what size you are. And if you get it in your brain, before too long, it's going to get to your heart. Stay with me. You get that mindset that you're going to be rebellious, it's going to transfer to here. If you get that mindset, you're going to go and you're going to do it. I don't care what pastor said. I don't care what the bishop said. You get that in your mind, it's going to get here before too long. But when you get in your mind, I'm not letting the devil play games in my thoughts. I'm not letting the devil have my mind as a playground for sin. I'm not letting my mind, amen, be opened up to the wickedness of this world. Amen. I'm not letting my mind go. I don't care what other people are doing in the youth group. I don't care what other young people play around with. I don't care what other churches did at youth conference. I don't care what happened at youth camp. I don't care if their pastor allowed it, but mine doesn't. When I get it in my brain that I made up my mind and I brought into captivity every thought, amen, I'm getting my mind in there. Amen. And you that's also in Christ Jesus, I'm getting my thoughts together because I know that I want it to get to my heart. And if I made it up in my mind and it transfers to my heart that I'm going to be saved, it doesn't matter what goes on in this world. I made a commitment to my wife that in sickness and health, and we had an agreement. Amen. We got married. We said that I was the only one to be able to be fat in this relationship. My God, she committed to that. And she loved me. She loved me like, my God, she loves me. And this ain't nothing. I told her this ain't even the half yet. You just wait till I get 50 years old. She's going to get double her investment. And I love my wife no matter what. She's the hottest thing in Pentecost. How you doing? I made a commitment to her. Hello? I made a commitment with her. Amen. At that altar, why we had 300 some people there. Amen. We was wondering to God how we gonna feed them all. And we made a commitment to one another that we were gonna love each other. We were gonna be committed. And that thing got to my heart. Hello, somebody. And I made a commitment. I know these kids think, my God, Brother Harris is cheesy. That's all right. You wait till you fall in love. You bunch of puppy lovers, you don't know nothing yet. Wait till you fall in love. Boy, you'd do anything for mama. I'm gonna tell you something. When you made that commitment, it got beyond just emotionalism. Got some married folks in the house? You don't always feel like being married. Oh, man. Got some self-righteous folks in the house right now. My God, I wish I had some husbands that could lead you. Don't get too close, she'll slap you. I'm gonna tell you, you don't always feel like being married. Just like you don't always feel like living for God. But you made a commitment to that wife. And in sickness and in health, in good times and in the bad times. Hello? I'm loving her. And I'm going to love her for the rest of my life. I made a commitment that even when I don't feel like it, that I'm committed to this relationship. And when I got saved and when I prayed through to the Holy Ghost and I got baptized in Jesus' name, I made a commitment that in sickness and in health, that when I don't feel like it, I'm still going to live for God. Because I don't worship God off of what I know on itself. And I don't worship God just off of how I feel by itself. But I worship God because I made a commitment to him that in sickness and in health, and when I was baptized into the body, amen, you don't just become a Christian by saying you believe that Jesus, amen, is Christ, but you become a Christian in the word of God or into the body of Christ, amen, being circumcised of the heart, being baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, and being filled with the Holy Ghost. And now you became a body, you became the bride of Christ. So now you're entering into a covenant. You and God are in a covenant. And the reason we worship God is not just because tonight you felt like coming on a Tuesday night, and not just because you came tonight feeling like, amen, you were on top of the world, and maybe you didn't get out of bed this morning speaking in tongues, and maybe you didn't float 6 inches off the floor and your halo was beating the door down trying to get out to work, but because you made a commitment with God. I'm telling someone here tonight, it's time you make a commitment with God tonight that says, I'm not going to backslide. I'm not going to run out the church. I'm not going to run out with everybody else. I made a commitment and I got it in my mind and it transferred to my heart. And out of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And when I speak life tonight, I speak it with everything in me. And I say, this is hell's eviction notice. It's time to get out of my life. It's time to get out of my marriage. It's time to get out of my home. Hello, somebody. It's time to get out of our youth group. It's time to get out the church. It's time to get it off and get it out of the house so that God can do his work. Tobiah, you got to get out. You can't stay here. Tobiah, you got to get out of the house of God. You're not allowed to stay here amongst us. You try to turn, amen, the house of God into a den of thieves, as we heard Jesus speak later on. Amen, type and shadow. Amen, Nehemiah was just a type and shadow of what was to come to pass. Because Jesus said, as he gave hell its eviction notice. He said, people talk about Jesus being a precious, amen, little pale skinned Jesus. Amen, hanging there on the cross. Amen, but I think of a carpenter. I think of old rough hand, callous man. Amen. Good looking Jesus. But he was callous. Amen. He had worked with his hand, the tools. Amen. No power tools. Amen. Everything he had worked for. And the Bible says he comes in there with a whip and begins to whip them out of the house of God. No, just give me pretty Pentecost. No, no, no. That's not what the word of God said. He said he come in there and he said, my house shall be a house of prayer. He said, you've turned into a den of thieves. He was given eviction notice of hell. Said, you've got to get out of here. You can't stop us from praying. You can't stop us from having to move the Holy Ghost. I don't care how long you've been here, but when Jesus steps in, he said, you've got to go. I'm preaching to someone here tonight. I don't care how long you've been in sin. I don't care how long the world's come against you. I don't care how long, amen, you played around in that mess. Tonight, when Jesus shows up in your life, he's going to command that stuff to get out. He's going to command the devil to cease and to exist and to move out of your life. And he's going to serve an eviction notice that the devil is not allowed to come back. I'm not far from closing. The Bible says, as God began to remove, amen, that wickedness out of the tabernacle. And really what it was doing was more than anything was just causing a distraction with their walk with God. The devil knows not to mess with you too much, so he'll just give you distractions in your life. Hello. Some of us, we're never going to pick up the bottle and start drinking. Amen. If the devil just tempt us with that, but he knows how to get you distracted. He knows how to get you off kilter and off a point and off of your focus. And he knows, amen, he knows a term that America has termed as squatter rights. He understands, amen, if he can stay there long enough, that before too long, he can take the deed to the property. Stay with me. America says that a squatter can go into a house, and if he can stay there, amen, for a lot of amount of time, and no one has interrupted him, and no one, amen, has messed with him, he's got squatter rights. And before too long, as I read of a Detroit, Michigan home, beautiful home, but as I read, amen, an article that this man stayed in that house until the point that they had to send him the deed to the paid-off property. And no longer did the rightful owner have rights to the deed because they left somebody in their house unmoved and untouched for weeks and months and over a year. And now that man had squatter rights. He had the deed to the property, and the value of that home was worth, amen, quite a bit of money. And now he could go to the bank, and he could take the deed. The man that was a bum, a homeless man, a squatter, amen, a man could go with that property with the deed in his hand, and he could hand it to the bank, and the bank could give him 80% of the value of the home, and he could walk out and cash it out and go out and do whatever he was going to do and never go back to the home. And so many of us, we let the devil lay doormat in our life. And we let him sit and have squatter rights. And before we even know it, he's done stood up in our life and is trying to get the deed to our home, the deed to our marriage, the deed to our young people, the deed to our lives. And he's got the squatter rights as he thinks he can have. Amen. He thinks, amen, the economy of God has to render itself helpless and homeless. Amen. And kick us out of our own homes and to the place that we've got nowhere to go. But we have to understand that God has all power. I said, God has all power in heaven and in earth. And that's why, amen, he says that what you bind as an apostolic, full of the Holy Ghost, baptized in Jesus' name, what you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And what you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. That is why tonight you've got to profess it with your mouth that you're going to serve an eviction notice on hell, that they've got to get out and they cannot come back. That's why tonight that we're not just binding it on a Tuesday night, amen, on earth, but we're binding it tonight in heaven, that we're not just speaking, amen, with our mouths only, but there's a God that's going to back up every word, amen, that we make up in our minds, and it gets to our heart and it bleeds into our soul, that we're going to live for God, and it doesn't matter what comes, we're going to have a walk with God that nothing in this world can destroy. Stand with me all over this house. Tobiah, you've got to go, but not alone are you going to go, but we're going to throw out every single thing that you brought in here. And then he says, not only are we going to throw it out, he said, but we're going to go back into the temple and we're going to remove, amen, all that mess. But then we're going to send the Levites in, and we're going to cleanse the temple, and we're going to cleanse those rooms, and we're going to remove, amen, all the negativity. We're going to remove all the sin, but then we're going to take in, amen, back, amen, a fragrance. You know what fragrance represented in Scripture? When they burnt, amen, the fragrance, it was a type of worship. He said, the devil may have stole your worship for a little while, amen, but once God, amen, re-inhabits the house, and once we move to buy out, we're going to replace, amen, that building with fragrance. In other words, we're going to reintroduce worship in the house of God. And while the devil may have stole your joy, and while the devil seeming could have stole your worship, when we kick him out and give his eviction notice, we're going to throw our hands up and worship God like we did before the devil ever, amen, even barked, amen, his first order in our life. So tonight, amen, as they begin to play, I wonder tonight if there's anyone in this house. Amen, I've taken some time tonight. Amen, I'm not trying to beat a dead horse, but I feel the Holy Ghost that there's some people here tonight. Amen, the devil's tried to, amen, destroy your home and destroy your life and destroy your walk with God. And you didn't know how you were going to make it. You didn't know how you were going to get out. But tonight, amen, you've understood that you've got to serve an eviction notice, but you're not just doing it by your own accord. Amen, just like, amen, when the natural, when they serve an eviction notice to a home, that eviction notice, amen, is only as good as the paper behind it by itself. But when the eviction notice is really served in its rightful order, the sheriff or police officer comes in to enforce it. And by the day he shows up, by the evening time, they have to have everything out of that house. And whatever's left in the house belongs unto the person that holds the deed. And whatever's outside, they only got, even then, only have, I believe, 42 or 48 hours or 72 hours to get the stuff off the property, or that belongs to the deed holder. So tonight, I'm going to give you hope, because you're not doing this by yourself. You're taking the first step. You're serving the notice. But you brought, amen, a higher power. And there's a sheriff. And there's a God with all power and authority that's going to back up every word that you say. But you got to make the first step. God's here in the house tonight. God's, amen, made provision. God's, amen, going to back up the eviction notice. But you got to open your mouth. And young lady, you got to open your mouth and proclaim it. Young man, you got to open your mouth and proclaim it. Young lady, amen, young adult, young married, amen, couples, new converts, visitor, you got to open your mouth and say, I'm going to serve an eviction notice tonight. I'm going to live for God. I'm going to have a relationship with him. I'm not going back to the drugs, the alcohol, the pornography. I'm not going back to that relationship that's dragging me down. Come on, somebody. I'm not going back to that relationship. Amen. I'm not going to be unequal to the yoke. I'm not going to be bond, amen, to someone that doesn't belong to the kingdom of God. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to try that. I'm not going to go that round. But tonight I'm not just professing with my lips, but my actions are going to back up what I say. And I'm going to throw my hands up and I'm going to say, God, I've got to live for you. And I don't want any of Tobias' mess left in my house. Come on, I wonder if we can slip out of our pews right now and slip down to this front with your hands lifted up and saying, God, I'm serving eviction notice of hell tonight. I'm going to have a walk with you. I'm going to have a walk with God. I'm going to have a walk like I've never had. Come on, that's right. Come on, I'm slipping out of my pew. I'm slipping out of the balcony. I'm coming around this front with my hands lifted up.
I need you more. More than yesterday, I need you more.
Oh, come on. Come on, can you make that your prayer right now? Come on.
More than words can say.
Come on, if you're a guest here tonight, God's going to help you right now. If you're a visitor here tonight, God wants to touch you. If you're a new convert here, God wants to encourage you in the Holy Ghost right now. Come on, just throw your hands up to God. Throw your hands up to heaven. Lift your heart with your hands. If you're a young person struggling tonight, come on, the Holy Ghost is going to help you. Come on, young lady, God's going to help you right now. Come on, you've been looking for an answer. The answer's in the house of God tonight. You've been looking for an answer. It's here. It's here. It's here. It's here.